So we, if you remember, are doing our Chazorah. We're doing our Chazorah. We'll continue today. We'll see how far we get. And we are on Daf Yud Daled Omed Aleph. And as far as I remember, we were halfway down the wide lines. Okay, so the first word on the line is Arifas Eglo B'Shloisha. It's about 10 or 11 lines from the bottom of the Omud on Daf Yud Daled Omud Aleph. Arifas Eglo B'Shloisha Tana Rabbonon. We know the process of Egla Arufa. Tana Rabbonon. V'yotzu Zekeinecho V'Shoftecho. Zekeinecho is Loshen Rabim, Shnaim. Shoftecho is again Shnaim, another two, that's four. Ve'en bezdin shokol, you cannot have an equal number of bezdin. Therefore, moisifin aleim oidechod, hare kan, chamisha, that would take you up to five. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, that no, zekeinecho shnaim, that's true. Ve'en bezdin shokol, you cannot have an equal number of bezdin. Therefore, moisif maleim oidechod, hare kan, shloisha. So, what does that mean? V'Reb Shimon, hai shoiftecho, my Ovid lei. How are you learning the word shoiftecho? Why are you ignoring the word shoiftecho? Which would surely give us another two, which would take us up to five. Why are you maintaining that it's three? Surely Rabbi Yehuda is correct. He says, no, I use the word shoiftecho to teach me something else. And that is, ahumi boyele, that's there to teach us L'meyuchodin shebeshoftecho. We've had this in various previous sugyas that there are a number of different levels of dayanim. So therefore, he needs the extra words to teach us not that you need some more dayanim, but rather the meyuchodin, the extra special, the highest tier dayanim of the shoftim. The Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. I agree you have to have the miyuchodim, but I learned that from the word mizikne zakeinecho. The extra word mezikneho is an extra letter. Therefore, I can learn from that word the miyuchodim of the shoftim. Therefore, the word shoftecho has now become freed up to teach me another two. Rabbi Shimon says that no, imizikne hava mina zikne hashuk. Remember, we've mentioned this also in the past. That the lowest form of Dayanim is called Zikni Hashuk. So therefore the Torah may in theory have been referring to them. Kosav Rachmano Zakeinecho, to teach you it's got to be more than Zikni Hashuk, but the Ikasiv Zakonecho Havamina Sanhedrin Ketano, which is the next level up. Therefore Kosav Rachmano Veshoiftecho Mimiyuchodin Shebeshoiftecho. And therefore, once again, he maintains there is no spare word. Rabbi Huda, Gomar, Zikne, Zikne, Mivesomchu, Zikne, Ho'edo, Es Yedehem. We had the previous sugya in which the Zakenim had to place their hands on the animal. So we have a Gzeira Shava, Ma'ala Halom, Miyuchodin, Sheba'edo, Afkan, Miyuchodin, Shebezeknecho. Just like over there, it's got to be the top level Dayanim. So too over here as well, says the Gemara. But Iyalif Leilef Kula Mehosam Zakeinecho B'Shoftecho Lomali. Once you're learning out from the parasha of Smicha Zakeinim, then you can learn everything there. You can learn the number of Dayanim. You can learn the level of Dayanim. Well, why do I need any psukim at all? Elovov V'Shoftecho L'Minyono is to teach me to the exact number of Dayanim I need. V'Reb Shimon Vov Loi Dorish. As we've had on a number of sugyas before, we always have this, as it were, a tennis match in which we throw the ball back and forth until one of them says, no, I don't have a Masorah to make a drosha like that. So in the final analysis, we have a machloikas. Is it three or is it five dayanim? Says the Gemara, Elo Me'ato. If you're now going to darshan every single word. According to Rabbi Yehuda, remember we said, v'zakeinecho is two, shayftecho is two. So every word written there in the Loshon Rabim, he's using for a drosha, in which case the Gemara asks, there are other words that are written in Loshon Rabim. Me'ato, what about v'yotzu? It says in the word posuk v'yotzu, that's also written in Loshon Rabim. They shall go. So maybe you should add another two. So we're up to seven now. And then it says, umodudu, and they shall measure. That's another two. So the Rabbi Yehuda, Hari Tisho. The Rabbi Shimon, Shiva. So either it should take you up to seven, or it should take you up to nine. Either way, why do we stop at three or five? And the answer is that those words are used for other droshes. Hahu mi boile. Those words are already used, they're booked up. We're now on the bottom line, Lechadatanya. As we have stated in the Braisa, the Yotsu comes to teach us a brand new halacha, which is Hein Veloy Shlucha. It's got to be the Bezdin themselves and not a shliach of the Bezdin. That's what we learn from the word v'yotzu. They must go out, not their shluchim. Therefore, that word is not available for another drosha. It cannot be there to teach me a further two dayonim, because it's there anyway to teach me a different halacha, that it's got to be the dayonim of the Bezdin and not the shluchim. So to umodudu is also there for a drosha. Sha'afilu nimtza Ba'alil, even if it is absolutely clear, the dead body is found absolutely clearly in closer proximity to one town rather than another, I would have therefore thought it's not necessary for the Bezdin now to go out and measure. There's nothing to measure, it's clear. Nonetheless, Sorich Lasik B'Medida, you've still got to involve yourself in this measuring process, in which case, both of those words are not available for a drosha, and that's why the whole machlokes was not including those words. Rather, it was only looking at the words of v'zakeinecho and sheftecho.
Could you explain the halamin again as to why you would think that Bezdin could send the shliach instead of going themselves? You're asking how many people you need for Bezdin, and then you're saying and they have to go themselves. Well, what would be the halamin to believe there could be a shliach?
Because in many cases of Bezdin, we do find that they don't themselves carry out the process, rather they send the shliach. So for example, in the case of giving malchus, even though it's a maisa, it has to be carried out by Bezdin, but the bottom line is the shliach performing. Now, says the Gemara, masnisin deloi ki haitan. Our Mishnah would not seem to fit in with the following Tana. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimen. We have in the Braisa the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and that does not seem to fit in with what we have stated until now, which is not a question. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is also a Tana, he's allowed to disagree, but we're just pointing out that there seems to be a different opinion over here. Why? What does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say? The Tanya. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Oimer, v'yotzu zakeinecho v'sheftecho. Zakeinecho zu Sanhedrin, v'sheftecho ze melech, v'koyen godol. So when it says v'sheftecho, there's actually a reference to the melech and the koyen godol, meaning Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is using the words in this pasuk to make a completely different drasha. Not with regard to how many must go, but rather it's a question of who must go. And he uses these words to teach me that the melech has to go, the kohen gadol has to go. Now, where on earth does he see that in the words of the sheftecho? Says the Gemara, because the sheftecho, a shefet, can also be a reference to a melech and a kohen gadol. Why? The Gemara explains, Melech, Diksiv, Melech, B'mishpot, Yamid Oretz. So it uses the word Mishpot with reference to a Melech, so you see that is a code word for a Melech, and a Kohen Gadol also, because it says, Diksiv, U'boso, El HaKohenim HaLevim, Ve'el HaShofet. So you see, once again, that that's considered to be, when it uses the word shofet, it's a reference to a kohen gadol. So either way, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is learning the pasuk completely different. So the Gemara asks the following question. Iboy Elohu, we have a question now. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is clearly disagreeing with that which we have said in the previous Gemara. He's using these words for different droshas. The question is, to what extent is he disagreeing? Iboy Elohu, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, b'chada pligi, oy b'tarita polik. Is he disagreeing on one factor or on two? How many points of machloikas are there between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Gemara now explains? Do we say b'melech v'koyin godoil polik? He certainly disagrees. He was the only one to be machadish that you need a melech and a koyin godol. Nobody else held that. Therefore, that's definitely one point of conflict. But Aval B'Sanhedrin, with regard to the other point of how many people, how many Dayanim you need in the Sanhedrin, maybe over there he does not disagree. And rather, Iker Reb Yehuda, Iker Reb Shimon. Maybe over there he would agree, either like Reb Yehuda you need seven, or Reb Shimon you need, either Reb Yehuda you need five, or Reb Shimon you need three. So therefore, this is the Gemara's question. Would we say that with regard to the amount of Dayanim, then he's perfectly happy to accept the previous opinions, it's either three or five. And the only point of disagreement, the only thing that he's disagreeing is that he is saying that you have to have a melech and a kohen gadol. That's one possibility. Says the Gemara, Oy Dilma b'Sanhedri Nami Polig. Or maybe he disagrees also with regard not only to the fact that you need a melech and a kohen gadol, but also to the fact the number of dayanim in the bezdin. How so? What would he hold? The Gemara suggests maybe he holds da'oma kula sanhedrin bo'inon. Maybe he maintains you need the entire sanhedrin rather than using the words v'yatsu and zekeinecho and shiftecho for two and four and five. He didn't use those words for those drushas at all, and therefore maybe you need the entire bezdin. So this is the Gemara Safik. Undoubtedly, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov clearly is having a machloikas. He's disagreeing with that which was mentioned previously. Is he disagreeing with one point, i.e. in the fact that he maintains you have to have the melech of the kohen gadol? Or is he disagreeing also in the fact that he holds you've got to have the entire Sanhedrin and not just three or five? So the Gemara now tries to bring a proof. Omar Rabbi Yosef. Toshama. Brisa says, Motzon abeis pagi. Vehimro alehen. If you remember, we're doing Chazara now. This was the sugya with regard to a Zokain Mamre. A Zokain who takes issue with the Bezdin. He argues with the Psak of the Bezdin, is Chayev Misa. The Bryce is talking about where he found the Bezdin in Beis Pagi. Beis Pagi is within Yerushalayim, but it's not the Mokim of the Mikdosh. So he bumped into the Bezdin there. For some reason, the entire Bezdin, we'll have to see why in a moment, for some reason the Bezdin were to be situated, were to be found one day in Beis Pagi, and this particular individual over there openly rebelled against the Bezdin. So the Braisa says, Yochoil, I might have thought that Tehei Hamrosei Hamro, I might have thought that his rebellion over there in Beis Pagi constitutes a rebellion, Talmud Loma, no. Bekamto v'oliso el amokoim, melamed shahamokoim goyrim. It's got to be in the mokoim. Which mokoim? It's got to be in the mokoim hamikdash. Therefore, even though I might have thought that the rebellion is considered a rebellion wherever it happens, no, that's a mistake. It's got to be in the mokoim. Okay. So if he found the Bezdin in Beis Pagi, his rebellion does not constitute a rebellion, and he will not be put to death. Now, Says the Gemara, what exactly is the case? The Nofuk Kamo. How many of the Bezdin had actually gone out to Beis Pagi? Remember, where are the Bezdin normally situated? The Bezdin are normally situated by the Beis Amigdosh in a room called the Lishkas Hagozis. If they are to be found one bright day in Beis Pagi, then clearly, for some reason, they've left the Beis Amigdosh and they've gone to Beis Pagi. How many have left? How many? Remember, this is the Beis Din HaGadol, 71 Dayonim, who normally find themselves in the Lishkas Hagozis. Well, today, they find themselves elsewhere in Beis Pagi. How many went there? So, Ilema Miktsoson. If you're going to tell me it was not the entire Beis Din, it was only part of them. Well, if that's the case, when this particular individual argued with the Beis Din, is that considering arguing with the Beis Din? He's not arguing with the whole Beis Din. Maybe those who remained behind, maybe they actually agree with him. Says the Gemara Dilma, Hanach de'ika gavoi, maybe those who stayed behind, kaimi kavosei, actually agree with him. Therefore, why would I even have thought this is considered a rebellion? It must be elopshita. It's obviously talking about Denofuk Kuru. They must have entirely left. Now, this is a very, very rare case. For some reason, the entire Beis Din must have left to Beis Pagi. And that's why I genuinely would have thought that if you rebel against the Beis Din, that's considered against the Sanhedrin, that's considered a Zokin Mamre. Why? Because he really is arguing with the entire Sanhedrin. Okay, so we have the case complete. The only thing we need to now remain to work out is, why did they leave? We know the case. We're clearly talking about the entire Sanhedrin left, and they went to Beis Pagi. Says the Gemara, Lamai. Why did they leave? Ilei meledvar harashus. If you're going to tell me they went for no mitzvah purpose, they just went out for a walk. That can't be. Mi motzu nafi, are they allowed to leave? They're not allowed to leave. We have a pasuk v'ksiv, sroi chagan hasar al yechzar amozik. They're not allowed to leave. So it can't be that they left just for a dvar harashus. It must be for a mitzvah. Elo pshita ledvar mitzvah. Which mitzvah would the entire Beis Din have to leave for? Says the Gemara. Ah, I think I've got it now. Hey, Chadomi, what would this case be? Lav lemedidas eglo. This is the only case I can think of for the moment. Why would the entire Beis Din have to leave and go somewhere? Why did the Beis Din ever have to go anywhere? It must be to measure the eglo arufa. Ben Yaakov he the Omar Kula Sanhedrin Boinon. So doesn't this confirm our suspicion that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires the entire Sanhedrin to go out and measure the Egla Arufa? So remember, we had a suffix. Did Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagree only with regard to Melech and Kohen Gadol, or did he also disagree with regard to the amount of Sanhedrin necessary? Well, if I found a case which talks about the entire Sanhedrin leaving the Lishkas Hagozis, the only thing I can think of, the only reason I can think of at the moment, says the Gemara, why would they have left? En masse. It must be to have measured Egla Arufa, and that follows Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion, because according to the other opinions, you don't need the whole Sanhedrin, it's either three or five. So therefore, that seems to confirm this tzad that we had, that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, in fact, maintains that it must be that how many Sanhedrins you need for the Egla Arufa, you actually need the entire Sanhedrin. And that's why the whole Sanhedrin now find themselves in the Beis Pagi. Says the Gemara, no, I've got another case. It's not true. I've got another scenario in which the entire Beis Din, the entire Sanhedrin would have to leave. And this is a very rare case. We're trying to find out, when do the Sanhedrin ever leave en masse? So we've got one other case. Gagoin, Sheyatsu lahoisif al ha'ir va'al ha'azarais. This is actually mentioned in the Mishnah Daf Beis Amud Aleph. Whenever we need to change the boundaries, the delineation of a town, it must be done in the presence of the entire Bezdin. So therefore, if you want to find a case, when would the whole Sanhedrin have to leave? The answer is, they're coming to Bet Shemesh to have a look at Ramah Dalad and Ramah Hay and Ramah Vov and Ramah Zayin. Kedetanan, because we have a Mishnah. So therefore, it's not conclusive. Don't tell me that the reason why the Sanhedrin left must be to measure the Egla Rufa. It's not conclusive. It could be they're going to change the borders of the town. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kvasei de Rabbi Yosef. I actually have a supporting braisa for Rabbi Yosef. Motzon abeis pagi vehimro aleim kagoin sheyotsu lemedidas egla. This braisa says absolutely clearly, until now we were speculating, but here the braisa actually spells it out and it says the bezdin left for purposes of medidas egla arufa or olohoisif al ha'ir var azores yochel shetehi amra osay amra talmud loima vakamta v'oliso lamokim malak malamed shamokim gleirin. So you see absolutely clearly in this braisa, that which we were debating until now is explicit. It says quite clearly that the entire Bezdin left to go and measure the Egla Arufa. Why are the entire Sanhedrin leaving to measure the Egla Arufa? Whose opinion is that? It must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's, who says you need 71. Okay, we continue. Neta Ravai Umaisa Sheni She'ein Domov Yuduin Bishleisha. Tana Rabbah, Ezehu Maisa Sheni. What does that mean, a case of Maisa Sheni She'ein Domov Yuduin, whose value is not known, therefore needs to be evaluated in the presence of a Bezdin? Why is the value not known? Remember, we're talking about Pidyoin. He would like to redeem the Maisa Sheni. And instead of schlepping it all up, the fruit up to Yerushalayim, he just wants to take the money up to Yerushalayim, which he's perfectly entitled to do. But if that's the case, why is the value not known? So the Gemara says the case must be Shehir Kivu, Peiro is Shehir Kivu. It's fruit that has begun to go a little bit moldy, or the Yayin Shehikrim. The wine has gone a bit sour, umo'is sheichlidu, or the money has become a little bit rusty. So therefore, it needs a professional assessment. Tana Rabbono, Maisa Sheini, Shein Domov Yuduin, Poidin Oisai, Bishloisha Lekuchais. It's got to be redeemed in the presence of three Lekuchais. Lekuchais means people who are expert in this field. But it can't be three people who are not experts. Afilu nochri echod mehem. Even if one of them is a goy, that's also okay. Afilu echod mehem bailim. Even if one of them is the owner, that's also fine. Ba'i Reb Yirmiyah umatilin l'toich kis echod. What happens if it's three who are all really sharing one pot? In other words, they are three partners in one business. Is that considered the three different opinions? Maybe that's just considered one opinion. Mahu. Hashema, ish v'shtei noshov, a man and his two wives, poidin ma'isa sheini she'im domov yuduin. So I see that what? If it's a man and his two wives, wouldn't that suggest that what?
Okay.
They're all together, and therefore, and they're still allowed to be evaluators. Says the Gemara, no, it's not approved. Dilma kagoin Rav Papa ubas Abba Seira. Rav Abba, Rashi explains, Rav Papa and the daughter Abba Seira, even though they were married, but they were financially independent. And therefore, that's why that case may be considered three different opinions. But where it really is a joint venture, three business partners, then we do not know what the halacha would be. Okay, we're going to stop it over here. I have to finish a little bit early today. Be'ezus Hashem Yizvorach. We'll continue our Chazara tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.
Yeah.
Well, have a good day.